Hello, hello, welcome back, everybody. If you are new here, welcome to the Are We Free podcast. I am excited to film today. I'm excited to be here. I know the consistency has not been there, but please forgive me. You know, we're working out a couple of things, and, you know, I just move at the pace at which God tells me, so I will be more consistent with this podcast, okay? So y'all bear with me, okay? But welcome back to the Are We Free podcast. This podcast is about transparency, vulnerability. It's based off of 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about, you know, his weakness and how Christ Jesus says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So this year, 2025, we're being vulnerable, we're being transparent, and we're breaking free from shame and condemnation and just giving it our all, exposing it all, revealing it all so that we can grow and that we can transform in Christ. Amen. So yeah, I'm excited about this episode. I'm just excited to be back. It feels good. I said we're going to do our high five model. So I want to give a high five, a shout out to Gilbert Walker, everyone. Yes. Gilbert Walker, cue the applause. Yes, yes, yes. This is a shirt that he made. It says, "Indeed, I'm on purpose." He always says this word, "Yes, indeed." So indeed, I'm on purpose. He's faithful to ministry. He's faithful to leadership. He's faithful to his position in the church and just an overall, just a humble, humble, humble man. If you want to follow him, I'll put it up somewhere. He's a member of my church, Kingdom Worship and Restoration Church. I'm going to do a shameless, you know, plug. If you need a place of deliverance, of breakthrough, 1401 Botham Jean Boulevard, come to the building. Okay, we're in revival currently. And it's just been just so many breakthroughs, so many just like when the presence of God hits you, it's just something like I cannot explain. And so we've been really just been blessed, been spoiled really with the presence of God. And it's been amazing just seeing how the Lord has been breaking these cycles, and healing and miracles and blessings and all the great things. So come to my church. Amen. So now we're going to go to get into this podcast, for today. I really want to talk about the transformation process. In service and church, we've been talking about, you know, justification, sanctification. What does that look like? We had this series called I'm Saved. Now, what do I do after that? What is the process of transformation? What is the process of becoming who God has called me to be? And so I want to read from this scripture. It's in Galatians. Let me pull it up. So, yes, freedom in Christ. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And I really, yeah, want to talk about it. So after we give our life to Christ, after we're justified, we kind of, we're on a crash course. Not a crash course, but we're learning the elementary things, and you learn the middle school things, and then you learn. So basically, what does that look like to walk in freedom, to walk in now that we've been saved, now that we know we repented of our sins, we know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord, God, you're real, the Holy Spirit is real. We come to the knowledge of that, like you've seen maybe in your experience with life, you've seen too much, or maybe you're not sure. Like, Lord, you might be on the fence. Like, I need some more signs. I need to know without a shadow of a doubt that you're real. And if you pray that prayer, he will seriously show you. And yeah, so maintain, the struggle is not necessarily obtaining freedom. It's maintaining freedom. In this country alone, in America, just the state of the world, the state of this nation, what it is right now, this nation is about liberty. It's about freedom. It's about democracy. It's about all these things. However, the perspective of freedom can be skewed when you are not grounded in the word of God, when you're not grounded in his principles, when freedom could look different for every single person, every single culture, every single nation, but it's not necessarily what is freedom to me. It's God, what is freedom in the eyes of you? And so we could be living our life and being like, well, I'm pursuing freedom. I have the liberty. I can do whatever I want, and I'm doing whatever I want, but why do I feel so bound? Why do I feel bound by my desires? Why do I feel like there's something that's holding me back? And it's because we have to come to the knowledge of what the true definition of freedom is. Christ, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? And I can say that in my life personally, like that at times, like I'll get caught up in, you know, what I feel I can and I should do. I'm 23, so I'm like new to this adulthood, kind of you could say. And so the temptations are there, the temptations to, I can order alcohol, I can buy, you know, I can overeat, I can spend whatever I want, I can go wherever I want, I can stay out however late, like all these liberties, all these freedoms. And so the pursuit, you think that you are free when you are pursuing freedom. In the Bible, from what I can infer from the text, from the scripture, freedom is self-discipline. Freedom is being like Christ. Freedom is being free from the law of sin, meaning you do whatever you want, whenever you want. And so Paul is warning us in the scripture. So it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." And so again, obtaining freedom, that's the easy part. It's just, how do you use this tool that you have in Christ? And so I think what we do is, it's so easy to abuse a substance. It's so easy to abuse, let's say, for instance, food. I'm pretty sure everybody on this earth enjoys food, right? But then there's a line that causes you to go into gluttony. So you can enjoy food, you know. Food is supposed to help you live. You're not supposed to live to eat, but eat to live. And so the food itself is not evil. Food itself is not bad. It's just when you use it outside of the intended purpose that God gave us, then it becomes unholy. Then it becomes unclean. Then it becomes unrighteous. Even when we're, I can say in my life, when we have friendships or relationships with people, God could be using that for you to minister, for you to evangelize, maybe for a week or two. And then you turn that into a full-blown soul tie, whether it be a friendship or a romantic relationship. The intention of that season, of that moment, was for God to get the glory, not for you to be satisfied, not for you to use this thing as a crutch, not for you to run to this and make this an idol. And I want to bring up this example too. You know, I'm just going to talk about it because, are we free? We're going to talk about it. With substances like weed or pills or anything like that, people, the arguments that I would encounter like all the time, and I would even be the person saying this to people that would try to, you know, try to help me and convict me. It would be like, okay, well, God put this on the earth. God made the plant. God made the minerals. God did this and that. So technically, it's not wrong, because why would God plant it? And I just said, imagine me, and this is a silly analogy, but imagine me taking this phone. This phone is intended to call, to text, to reach people. If I take this phone and hit it in your head and do something outside of what the manufacturer, Apple, tells me to do or instructs me to do, then it becomes useless. Then it becomes unclean. Then it becomes unholy, even though the product itself is not the issue. It's the intended purposes. It's how you use it. The intended purposes behind it. I don't think that God, in his sovereignty, and this is going to be controversial, and I know a lot of people might be dropping off at this point, but I'm not going to speak that into existence. But I don't think God wants his people to be drugged up, wants his people to be high, wants us to be in a state of mind where we can't really see or discern what is going on. And so, you know, take it before the Lord. I don't believe that the intended purposes for that plant that we say God did or whatever was for that purpose. And that's just my opinion, and I'm going to stand on it, period. And I've been on the other side of that opinion. I've had debates. I even debated my father about it. Like, we were going back and forth, and of course he won. But yeah, so these are real conversations, real things that once we get guests on the show, like real things that I want to talk about and see, you know, gauge our minds to come up higher and really put our thoughts according to the word of God. For we are called to live in freedom, but not to satisfy the sinful nature. And so the intent of freedom was not just so you could do whatever you want, but the intention behind freedom is to show other people you don't have to be bound to this. You don't have to be bound to drugs. You don't have to be bound to alcohol. You don't have to be bound to lust. You don't have to be bound to fornication. There's another way. And yeah, so then I want to go to this part of the scripture. Excuse me. This part of the scripture, it says, so I say, Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Isn't that crazy? It's like a battle. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. So that was a lot. That was a handful. That was powerful what he wrote. And so I think what has us bound is our lack of knowledge. The flesh, the body, the soul, the mind, and the spirit. So discerning which place is this coming from when we make decisions and when we are being sanctified or being purified or being transformed into who God has called us to be. And so I think for a lot of us, we understand the work of the flesh. And this may sound a little, but we know, like, you know, like, something in me is like, this isn't right, but I'm going to act on this impulse. Like, the moment you get a thought, you do it. And then afterwards, you're like, oh my gosh, like, why did I buy this purse? Why did I make this purchase? Why did I say yes to be on this board? Why did I, what was that instant reaction in me to make me just fall into this impulsive desire? That to me is the work of the flesh. And the work of the spirit is you feel the ruah, the presence of God hovering over this decision or nudging you to do it. It's something like that. It's almost like something like, this isn't even me that wants to say this. This isn't even me that wants to do this. It's something greater pulling me and leading me to do this. It's not just a quick like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. It's not like a reactive thing, but it's a deep thing that's happening within you. And so these two are constantly battling. And so in the beginning of humanity, in the Garden of Eden, we were given this gift called decision. And decision was never taken away from us. Even after the fall, we still have to make a choice. Isn't that crazy? I always tell God, that's not fair. Why didn't you just program my brain to just instantly make the right decisions? But love is not love until it's tested, until it's tried, until it's given, right? Because how would you feel if somebody just loved you because they were programmed to, but not out of the kindness or not out of the depth of their heart? Is love is unconditional. In God's love for us, there is no condition as to why he loves us. Why does he love us? I don't. Now, are there conditions in God? Yes. Obedience? Yes. There are conditions when we love him, meaning if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. But as far as him loving us, there is no condition. There is no, like, I really, and correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but there are really no scriptures or passages of scripture that points out this is why God loves humanity. He just does. And so, all that to say, the gift of decision is weighty, and it requires a lot of responsibility. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve, they had a decision to make. And yeah. And another thing that it just reminds me of is that the enemy will blind you to your destiny. Like, he does the same thing that he's been doing since the beginning of humanity. If you're weak when it comes to relationships, he will use those relationships to blind you to the point of destiny. And so sometimes we think like, oh, we're saved, we're free, but that freedom is not for our own glory, it's for his. Like, God did not, he doesn't want, like, there's a purpose behind your freedom. Let us be made into perfection. Let us grow from the milk to the meat. It's because there's more work for you to do. There's more work for you to do. God didn't just deliver you because you're just such a bad person. Like, the blood of Jesus, like, we can't do what he did, obviously. We can't. We're not the atonement for sin. No amount of work, like, nothing. Like, Jesus, he did that. Now what? Now what is the next step after that? What do we do after that? And the Bible tells us to go and make disciples. And so God did not just save you for you to just sit in church on Sundays and just be like, well, I'm not sinning, I'm not doing anything. Your freedom was never about you. It's about souls. It's about Jesus. And so I don't mean to preach you down, but understand that the fight is bigger than you. The fight is so much bigger than you. You have an enemy that is trying to blind you to your destiny. And he wants to make the things that keep you blind your dwelling place. So if you're sad about, you know, things not working out, or depression seems to come easily whenever you think about, oh my gosh, this didn't work out. Oh my gosh, I'm disappointed. Lord, I'm just disappointed. And you sit in that disappointment and you sit in that pain. And so a lot of times pain can even hold us back from pursuing and reaching our full potential, because we're stuck in the pain. We're stuck in God said no, or God said yes, or the devil did this, or I made a mistake, and you sit in the pain. And the Lord, whenever you went through, or even just looking at the Psalms, looking at what they wrote, there was purpose in the pain. There was purpose in the story. So pain is never a dwelling place. It's a place of endurance. It's a place of purpose. It is never meant to be a dwelling place. Peace can be a dwelling place. God's presence, worship, that's a dwelling place. But pain is never the dwelling place. And so for us to experience freedom and maintaining it, we must master the purpose of pain, the purpose behind it. My mentor tells me all the time, she was like, when will you get the lesson, Omni? When will you grasp it and not go around the mulberry bush? I'm still getting the lesson as I'm recording this now. Transparently speaking, please pray for me. Please. Okay? Because, you know, I'm just being completely honest. I don't want to go around the mulberry bush, and I feel as though the consecration that I'm on personally is God is teaching me how to endure and how to find the purpose in the pain. Now, I'm not going to lie and be like, oh yeah, I'm trying. I'm seriously trying and giving it my all and being completely transparent with him this time. And he's so kind, he's so gracious that he gives me dreams. He gives me insight. He shows me my heart in the dreams. He shows me the warning in the dreams. Not because, you know, the enemy will make you think, oh, because God just hates you because you're going to fail. No, because he's your friend. Abraham was a friend of God. And that's why God revealed to him what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah and all these different things. David had a heart for the Lord. And so when we trust in his sovereignty, because that's the root of it, it's not because the enemy can put whatever he wants in your face and tempt you like he did with every single person. But when you trust in his sovereignty and you have a fear of the Lord, nothing the enemy can do or say will remove you from the seated position, will remove you from the place of freedom. Now, what does is we are human. Again, we have a sinful nature. We have a flesh, okay, that we have to constantly put to death. We have to constantly, this Pastor Philip Mitchell says, wringing the sin out of your heart, constantly putting away the things that may tempt you. So it's not like everybody's arrived or no pastor, no leader deals with the flesh. That's a lie. Every human on this earth has to endure some sort of suffering, some sort of dying to the flesh. Some sort of endurance, because that's just life. I mean, if you're an athlete, like, do you just automatically, oh no, I'm there, I don't have to do the endurance, I don't have to do the training, I'm already there, like, I'm good. You could be the best athlete and you still have to train. You could be the best preacher and you still have to go through tests and trials. Your faith still has to be tested, okay, with all things, with everything. David, he was king, and he still went through some trials and tribulations, okay? Solomon, he obeyed most of the time, but that 1% still your flesh, okay? You can never, and that's where humility has to kick in. The key to freedom also is in humility. I'm rambling and I'm going on, but this is what a podcast is. It's like talking out all the thoughts you have, like when you're driving or showering or something. But that's honestly what it is. It's walking in humility and being like, I haven't arrived yet. I need you. Paul, he talks about it in scripture, his weaknesses. He talks about the trials and tribulations that he has to go through. He doesn't talk about the fact that he's built and made so many disciples and so many churches. He was doing great things. If Paul was modern day, it would be like he planted a bunch of mega churches all across the nation, and he did not address that. He talked about his weaknesses. He talked about his suffering. He didn't explicitly say the sin that he was going through, but he said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do, and the thing that I don't want to do, I do. And so killing the flesh is not like, it's not easy. Crucifixion is not easy, but if Jesus can do it, so can you. So there is purpose to your pain, but it does not have to be your dwelling place. You don't have to be in a cycle of sin. You don't have to be in a cycle of bondage. You learn from it. You get the lesson from it and create, or not create, but God will give you purpose through it, in it. And it's not for you. I promise you, it's for somebody else. Because the things that my mentors have went through, they're probably at the time were thinking, oh gosh, like, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why do I have to leave my job? Why do I have to do ministry full time? Why am I getting moved to this position? You know, all the things that you could be going through right now, Lord, why? And you may not know till 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but don't allow the why, the pain, to keep you bound. Break free. Find freedom. Find just continue to seek the Lord about it. And even then, like, I was watching this pastor Stephanie EK, and she was talking about, you know, just when she was serving in ministry, because she was making good income, but the Lord told her, you know, to serve at this ministry, serve as an usher. And she was just kind of like, she had nights where she would cry and be upset about it. And those tears or those things that we cry, it could be from a place of, and I just feel like I need to talk about this, about pride. That's a part of our sinful nature, is the victim mentality that pride will have you in. Lord, I don't deserve this. Lord, why me? Lord, what is happening? And we really, really, really are at a time where the nation and the world, where we have to put it at the altar. We have to go back to the word of God, and we have to have community, counsel, people that can counsel you, that can guide you and lead you in the right direction, knowing that you are not alone in this fight, knowing that you are not the only one that has to surrender, that has to give up something, that touched something that they weren't, that you weren't supposed to touch. You're not the only one. A lot of us have. And we get up and we dust it off of our feet and go forward, as painful as it might be, as much as you want to stay in that place, get up and go forward and be free. And then another thing that I kind of want to touch on, just this podcast is going to be kind of like, I'm just flowing right now. So I want to read Galatians 6 and 11. I'm going to skip down to verse 14. And it says Paul's final advice. And in Galatians 5 through 6, Paul is talking about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. So we're going to go down to verse 11. Yes. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. And so that stuck out to me. As far as becoming free and walking in sanctification and knowing the difference between the two, justification is, okay, Jesus died for your sins, meaning the blood of Jesus, all up on that. Sanctification is giving up the desires of your sinful nature, not abusing the justification, not abusing the freedom of what Jesus gave you. And the Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So justification is, yes, Jesus, you love me no matter what, and you bled for my sins, and you've forgiven me. However, sanctification is the endurance part. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, meaning we're going to see him again, or see him face to face. Galatians 6 and 11 and 14. So Paul talks about how he crucified his flesh, and not crucified his flesh, but that he is no longer interested in the things in the world because his attention is on Jesus Christ. And so I think what happens, and I can say for me, is that we grieve the world. I know for me, I grieve, and even to this day sometimes, I grieve the temptations of the world. Having, you know, what the world calls fun. All the things you could think of that a young woman or a young person would want to do, partying, getting lit, whatever you want to say, the world. I'll get to it deeper on a deeper level in the next episode, but the spirit of the world, what is that? Recently, like back in 2024, I understood what that was. My mentor, she'd be like, you love the world. You love the world so much. And I'm just like, I don't know what you're referring to, but now I understand a year later what that means. Indulging and enjoying the things that the culture that we say is okay, but does the Bible say it's okay? We have certain quotes, certain things that we stand by and live by, but no scripture to back it up, no intimate time with God to back it up, saying that this is what he has said. And so I think for us, the next step that I believe that I am working on and that we can all work on is separating ourselves from culture, from the world, from what people in society tell us that we should feel, and honestly test it with the word of God, with what the Lord is saying, with his commandments and his ways. And so for me, I'm in a season right now where I am in my cutting off era, in my killing my flesh era, and following the Lord and following his commandments and what he unctions us to do. And so the reason why it's like the world to in Paul's eyes is where I feel like we should all be at, where it didn't even matter anymore. It didn't even compare to the kingdom of God. It didn't even compare to Christ's power. Nothing can compare to the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. It did not matter. No matter what people said, no matter what people may have, what the world was looking like, if it looked like they were advancing, wealth, all of those, all the powers that be, the powers that are on this earth, that it doesn't compare to Christ at all. And so I don't want to get too deep into that, but the key to separating ourselves from the world is loving what God loves and hating what he hates. And that is a hard thing to do when the lines are so blurred in this generation, in this time that we're living in this nation. It's very hard to separate what is of God and what is not. God is not, and I'm just going to say this and it might upset people, God is not a political party. God is not, he can be behind things, behind movements, behind all of that, but God is bigger. He's the God of all nations. He's bigger than anything, absolutely anything. And so it's very easy to mix beliefs, ideologies, all of that, and dash in a little bit of God there. But with God, it's either he's the God of all or he's God of nothing. And so I'm learning that. I am not all the way there yet. I'm like, Lord, this is what I've always thought. This is what I always think. I don't see what's wrong with this. I don't see what, you know, because culture is okay with this. Culture is okay with my habits. Culture is fine. And so God is, yeah, he's taking me through a moment of transformation and truly, huh? You said what? Hi.
Sorry, I didn't know you were here.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing good. A little bit, but it's okay. I'm gonna pause it.
I'm so sorry.
And so God is, he's bigger than the world. And so freedom is not found in our pursuits of doing what culture says, of doing what the world says, but it's gauging that freedom and using it for Christ's sake, using it for him and not for our own worldly pursuits or anything like that. And so it's easy to satisfy the sinful nature when you're in the world, when you're around culture so much, when you're around people who are, again, innocent, intentions may be good, but they're engulfed into the world and ruled by that. It's very hard to maintain your freedom in spaces that don't govern who God has called you to be. And so I just want to end this by saying, love God more. Love God more. That's what I keep telling myself is Omni, love him more. Give him more. God gives you everything and you're giving him a third of you. Being like, yeah, God, like, I don't know. This person made it so, he made it so clear. Like, you know, what if you told your husband, hey, like, I'm gonna sleep with you 6 nights, you know, 6 days, but then on the seventh day I'm gonna go to this guy named Tyler's house, and then on the third day, you know, I might slip up with this. And so, you know, if we wouldn't want that to be done to us, if we want to have human beings to ourselves and all of that, how much more do you think God would want to have all of us to himself? And so that's another topic that we will not get into, but I just encourage everybody to just choose him and love him more, and then you won't satisfy the things that can keep you bound. Endurance is a great key, that is literally keeping me right now is endurance, is this too shall pass. I just got to sit. And I got to fight with the word of God, and I cannot dwell here, but I have to grow from here. I have to pass the test. I can't skip the test. I can't go around it. I have to endure it. And so if you're in that place where you're going through, you're encountering that thing that has kept you bound in the past, that moment that has kept you in cycles, you're going to pass the test this time if you endure. If you love him more, and, you know, you're mastering the skill, you're killing the flesh, you're mastering these things. And I speak that into existence, that you will pass this test. And so I think that's all. Please, please like, share, comment, subscribe to my channel. Subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to Ari Free. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And another thing, if you are in need of a miracle, I just feel the need to say this. If you are in need of a miracle, if you're in need of a breakthrough, if you are encountering the same sin, the same cycle, the same blocking thing, the same blockage over and over and over again when it comes to court, when it comes to your relationship, when it comes to anything, I encourage you to, one, read the Bible, okay? Read the Bible, read the Word. Two, prayer. Prayer, if you are in a ministry and they have prayer meetings, be there. Be faithful to prayer. If you are faithful to little, God will make you ruler over many. Be faithful in prayer. Go to a prayer meeting. Please, please, please do it. Prayer has literally saved my life, has kept me, has delivered me, bringing me closer to Him. Prayer is so important. I personally attend this prayer meeting every Monday night. It's with Breaking of the Day Family Church. These leaders are just amazing. The women, the men, amazing. And ushering in God's glory and intercession and really teaching and training you on how to do that. I know most of you might know that ministry, Breaking of the Day Family Church. But if you do not, please go. It's 700 North Denton in Hutchins, Texas. If you're in the DFW area, I just encourage you to go. Like, your life will never be the same after you encounter God, after you encounter prayer and intercession. And yes. So again, like, comment, subscribe. Thank you for watching the podcast of Are We Free. I'm your host, Minister Omni, and I will see you next time, 2025, staying alive.